Errol.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You're the first to arrive.
Okay. I'm still having trouble getting on the internet. I can't. Judy?
Good evening, Judy.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon. So, there's Meryl and there's Judy on. Would you like to wait or do you want to move forward?
Whatever you'd like to do.
Yeah, whatever you want to do, Hodo.
Well, I would like to move forward, so.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
So, we are studying in the Parsha of Vayera from the Zohar Sulam commentary. And we're at Pasuk 9 in section 1. Good evening. We'll start in section 1. We'll start with a Lishkan Yichud. And then commence with Pasuk 9. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Te Bitkilu Urshimu Udkilu Udkilu Urshimu L'yakta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe L'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah L'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayino amadunai Elohino aleinu ma'asei adenu kanane aleinu ma'asei adenu kananehu. Pasuk 9. Tachatze diad la'it kezar Avraham la'hawa Aleyayela Haidarga kid amaran Kewan de'it kezar Makiti v'yera elav Hashem l'man dehala ketiv v'yera Hashem el Avram Avram v'ili Avram ma'eshivcha chaka yatir mi'bekad meta Adla it kezar, diki vayera. Hashem el Avram. Come and see. As long as Abraham was not circumcised, only that grade dwelt upon him, as we explained. That is the grade of the Nukva while she was called a vision. But after he was circumcised, it is written, and Hashem appeared to him. But it is not mentioned to whom, because it is not written, and Hashem appeared to Avram. And he answers, if it were written to Avram, then what greater sort of praise would there be than that which existed before he was circumcised? Because even then it was written, and Hashem appeared to Avram. My commentary. This pasuk was difficult for me to understand until I read the Hebrew and saw that Hashem appeared to Abraham prior to the circumcision through the level of the connecting word El. Remember, El means two. It's a connecting word. Questions, comments, thoughts.
That line that translate is as, but it is not mentioned to whom. That I don't get a connection to that phrase. Maybe I just.
Well,
Hashem appeared to him, but it is not.
Can you open up? Can you open up Bereishit chapter 12, verse 7?
No, I don't have. I don't have my iPad in here or my door, so.
All right, I'll open it up.
Okay.
I'm doing a Bible inquiry on the Hashem webpage.
Okay.
The English translation, and Hashem appeared unto Avram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And he builded there an altar unto Hashem, who appeared unto him. And so we're seeing the same words. Vayera is the first word in the sentence. And then it's saying, Azot uvein shem b'neim mizbeach, the altar, to Hashem, la Hashem, hun henaraya, who appeared, that's the past tense of the same word that's Yera. Vayera has the transformative vav that leads the sentence.
Right.
So what it's really saying is, it says initially that Hashem appeared to Avram, but then in the last part it says, he built an altar unto Hashem, who appeared to him in the past tense. And that's the confusion. That's what the verse is trying to explain. And the other question that we ask is, in this parasha, my memory serves, Hashem is circumcised in the end of the previous parasha. So when it starts Vayera Hashem in the beginning of this parasha, he's sitting as the three angels approach. And so his name has been changed to Avraham, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the parasha that his name gets changed. So that is the confusion also. Why isn't he be called Avraham, if I'm correct in my memory?
Well, there are several in a row that have that transcendence, Bob.
Right. That's correct. Almost all of the book of Genesis has a connecting vav.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is the book of Genesis is considered the Keter. And Keter is all-inclusive. So there's no need. For it to not have the vav would indicate that there's separation of Keter, and that isn't correct. About the only one I can remember is when we go to Meketz. It's not a connecting vav, because it obviously does connect by virtue of it being at the end of 2 years. Joseph is raised out of the prison. So it's obviously the wording itself does connect to the previous parasha. Because it's because he said to the wine steward, remember me, those two words added the 2 years of extra prison time to his sentence.
Mm-hmm. Well, for my classes, I prepared a handout that I call the Torah, the TRD. It's an acronym for Torah Roots and Definitions. And I haven't updated. I do it for every Torah portion, okay? And
right.
I try to count when we get to the Vav, and I'm looking at one of my older copies, which it doesn't matter. The dates aren't right, but the Torah portions are all in order. And Vayera, which is the fourth
right.
portion. And then the next one that has the Vav, the connecting Vav, is Vayetzeh, which is the seventh portion. And then Vayishlach, the eighth. Vayeshev is the ninth, and then Miketz is the tenth, and of course there's no Vav. And then the 11th, which is this week, is Vaygash. It has the connecting Vav.
Starting at the seventh from what you said.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, you said the fourth, which is Vayera. And then after that comes Toldot, which is continuing the story of Isaac and the birth of Jacob. And then what's after Toldot is Chaye Sarah, which is obviously connected to the binding, which is the last action of Toldot. But you and I'm not. My memory is failing at this point. I'm a little tired. But if you follow back through that, you'll find that every parasha in Genesis connects to the previous one. There's a little bit of the story in the previous one, and then you get the opening of the new parasha. And it's because we understand Genesis is the Keter. There's five books. There's Keter, Chokhmah, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. So that, the Vavs, somehow those stories need to be connected together. Otherwise, what we're saying is that the Keter is not totally unified, and that cannot be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what I'm seeing is that you can see things on a level or a grade with the Hebrew, and then you've got the Kabbalistic meaning, sub-meaning, spiritual meaning besides that, behind that, or above
right.
that. The connection,
But always remember, Chana, that the physical follows the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But if we see a separation in the physical, that separation has to occur in the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we see the physical as different than the spiritual, but in reality, the physical comes as an effect of the spiritual. So if there's a separation in the physical, there has to have been a separation in the spiritual. The cause is always spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know that. I don't think we saw that years ago, sometimes back, but we've learned that from you.
know, when you're first learning, you're not really focused on the tree of life, and you don't really understand that the Torah, all aspects of the Torah are really just describing aspects of the tree of life.
Really, all aspects of life refer to the tree
Correct.
Of life. Doesn't matter if it's
Correct.
Colors, if your body parts, if it's the love and the etrog. I mean, it's everything. So,
correct. That's the beauty of Torah.
Right. And I think that's when we see the separation between the names of Hashem, whereas always, you know, we had a tendency to focus on the Tetragrammaton, but now we're seeing it's with all the names.
Yes.
At the meeting the other day, you know, of what an action in the physical causes those, I'm going to say names for a better choice, not for a better choice, but what's coming to my mind is that those letters of those names also separate. And I think with Adam, that he lost that olive from Anoki when he went from light to skin. You know? So, which puts everything back in process, you know, being able to see what our actions do, how we separate with our actions of what was whole to begin with, and how to put it back together, the names back together, the essence, when I say the name.
For those of you who are not familiar with what Chana is referring to, the name Elohim was a conflict. The first three letters, Aleph, Lamed, He, spells the word Ella, these, and then the last two letters, Yud Mem, spell the word sea or Yam. And so Elohim is a name that can be parsed and gives you an essence of these are the sea, or the sea are these. And there was a conflict, there is continuing a conflict, where the Elohim has been separated into these two words. One side received or had became victorious and received these, Ella. The other side received the sea. And the job of humankind is to reunite the two words so that the word Elohim becomes corrected. The tikkun is made for the word Elohim. That's what Chana has been referring to. Should I go on, or do you have other questions on verse 9? I'll go ahead.
Okay.
Verse 10. Ela raza satima. I've said this a few other times previously, but we have some new people, and I never know who's going to be listening to recordings. If I read the Aramaic and I read it incorrectly, meaning I pronounce it incorrectly, and then I go back and make it and correct it, that is literally creating a tikkun somewhere in the world, somewhere in my life, somewhere in anyone who hears it. this is the concept of tikkun that is simple, but not easy. And I don't want to go into the detail of how what gets corrected when you correct the sound that you've read, the letters that you read. But there's a reason why each letter has a particular vowel. That's all part of the Tree of Life. I'm now going to read the English translation of verse 10. The words, "and Hashem appeared to him," contain a secret. This means that he appeared to that grade that spoke to him. In other words, Zerantin, which is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, appeared to him, namely to the Nukva. This had not happened before he was circumcised, when the Nukva was still separated from Zerantin. And now the voice, that is Zerantin, was revealed and was associated with speech, which is the Nukva, when he spoke with him. Thus Abraham benefited from the mating of male and female and became a chariot for both of them. Therefore it is written, "and Hashem appeared to him," which alludes to the mating of male and female. My comment above is hinting to this teaching of the Zohar. What does it mean that Abraham became a chariot for both male and female? Since Sarah is a metaphor for the body, and in the physical world, the body and soul can become one, but not the same, it is necessary for Abraham to take on the role of being a chariot to Chesed, both for the male and female of Chesed. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I don't know how to word it, but a few verses or so back, during this time of such a busy season and not being able to go back and reread or whatever, didn't we find out something to the effect that Abraham, you'll have to get the wording, that he not only moved into the Sephirot of Hesed, he went into Gevurah because of the birth of Isaac, and so that gave him, I don't know if it should be gave him male and female. Do you know what I'm referring back to, those verses in the Zohar?
I do, but I don't think we said that Abraham came into Isaac. What we said is that Isaac, or Gevurah, moved to the right and became more sharing.
Right. Okay,
we said it in reverse. Here it's saying that, well, first off, it's giving you a spiritual law that says everything has male and female. Everything has body and soul. So when we speak of Abraham, we're speaking of male. We're speaking of Chachma. We're speaking of father. But it also, there's a female. But when does Sarah pass in the stories? When Sarah passes, that role needed to be picked up by Abraham. And this verse is explaining how that is done. And it's in the word Vayera. And how do you spell Vayera? Vav, Yud, Resh, Aleph. Well, as we analyze the letters, we know Vav represents, in this particular case, the transformative Vav, so that the tense is changed from the future to the past. The Yud is male. The Resh, as the head, is talking about a vessel, so it's female. And then the Aleph represents unity. So we see how the male and the female become unified in the word appeared, which is Vayera. And that's what this verse is hinting at. And with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, it becomes clear.
And in the Aramaic, Vayera is in that passage, as
yes.
It's written in Hebrew. So that's a good... I always like picking out those words that we're familiar with from the Torah reading that are the same in the Aramaic.
This is not a law to take home to the bank. But in Aramaic, generally the words will end in the letter Aleph. In Hebrew, generally it ends in the letter He. What's the difference between a He and an Aleph? The Aleph is unifying. It doesn't let anything past it. It takes the energy and consolidates it into unification. The letter He has the space on the left leg, which allows energy to escape. And when we say that Aramaic is a language that does not, that the angels don't understand, part of it is coming from that understanding of the difference between the He at the end of the word and the Aleph at the end of the word. But as I said, I didn't say, but that is a thought that occurred to me early in my personal study of the Kabbalah. And when I tried to explain it to people at that time, they told me I was too young to understand. I was too new. And I have not seen anything that really says it's incorrect. But it's my idea, and I don't have 100% certainty that it's 100% true. So I say it's a law, but I'm not sure. So take it with a grain of salt. But to make sure it's kosher salt. Are there any other questions? Because we are out of time.
I'm just going to make a little quick statement. Two people appeared in our meeting last night. They opened, the door was open. They came in. There was a male and a female. And tomorrow at question and answer, I'd like to explain what happened and get your opinion of what that meant.
Okay. I appreciate the heads up.
Okay. And I got to sleep all afternoon, so I'm kind of coming out of the brain fog.
I understand. Are there any other questions? Our class tonight will be an essay by the Ari. That'll be at 7 o'clock West Coast time. And you can make the adjustment for your own time zone. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.